Well, I was looking at some, and some are like, mm-mm. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for these folks came out. Lord, we thank you just for a beautiful Sunday morning, Lord. And I just pray that you'll bless our time in church this morning. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. And Lord, help us to learn from your word and grow by it. And Lord, we do thank you for everything that you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for this building you've given us. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be glorified now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I tell you, you know, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be smiling. And we're all going to be leaning. Amen. So, all right. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22. You know, when you're writing down things to pray about, make sure you pray for those folks down in Texas. I mean, it's kind of hard for us to feel too sorry for them, but you know they are without power and they're not used to this like we are. You know, and so just pray that things get better for them. Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22, look if you would at just one verse, look at verse 25. Exodus 22, verse 25. It says, "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." Now this morning I want to speak to you about a subject that's found in the Bible that many of you have probably not heard taught on before. Maybe you have, but it isn't taught on very much. And the subject that I'm going to talk about this morning is what the Bible has to say about lending money to other people. What the Bible has to say about lending money to other people. Believe it or not, the Bible actually has quite a bit to say about the laws of lending back in the Old Testament. Now, I think we all understand that all of the Bible is written for us, but not all the Bible is written to us. And what I mean by that is that there is some of the Bible that applied to the nation of Israel exclusively, while other parts of the Bible apply to us today. And that's whenever you start to divide that, that's rightly dividing your Bible, okay? How many of you know back in the Old Testament that the Israelites were under the laws concerning what they could eat? For example, you know, the dietary laws, and there were some things, food restrictions that they had, that were given to the nation of Israel that were never, ever given to any believer today. And those restrictions were on certain meats, you know. But today, if you want to get a piece of bacon, well, then go for it. Amen? But you couldn't do that if you were a Jew back in the Old Testament, because there were dietary laws. There are certain things that they couldn't eat. Certainly we're thankful for that we're not under that today. Amen? By the way, I mean, if we were under those dietary laws, you would, if you ever get a chance to read them, and then you'll be thankful, because there are a whole lot of things on there that we eat daily that they could not eat back then. It's not just pork, okay? So there were certainly some laws that they were under that we're not under today. Now, with that being said, you also have to be careful not to just throw out everything in the Old Testament. A lot of people today, they say, well, you know, the Old Testament is for the nation of Israel, the Old Testament not for us, so therefore, I don't even need to read it. No, you do need to read it, because number one, the things that are written in the Old Testament are examples to us today. You see, you know, in the New Testament, it tells you, you know, how we are to be as Christians and the type of attitude that we're to have. But then when you look back in the Old Testament, you see people who, some of them did and some of them didn't, and you see how the Lord handled those things. So certainly the Old Testament's good to read when it comes to examples and illustrations for us today. It's also good to read because not everything in the Old Testament, even though the things were for the nation of Israel, not everything in the Old Testament has been done away with. There are things that the Lord said were sins back in the Old Testament that are still sins today. Okay, and so you just can't say, well, just throw out everything in the Old Testament and say, well, you know, that was for the nation of Israel, because that was back in the Old Testament. There are still some things that apply to us today, and there are some principles that are taught today in the Old Testament that are also taught in the New Testament. Things like murder still being sin. That's not changed. witchcraft still being an abomination. That hasn't changed. The sins of Sodom being wicked. Those things are still sin, and they're still sins today. So regardless of whether you're talking about the nation of Israel or any nation, New or Old Testament, some things have just not changed, okay? So when you're studying to show yourself approved unto God and rightly dividing the word of truth, you have to compare the two testaments and see what the context is and who it's written to, and see if the New Testament, if it has, you know, if it still applies today in the New Testament when it comes to those principles. Now, when it comes to the law of lending, lending others money back in the Old Testament, when you read it, when you see this morning, I mean, you're going to think, wow, that's wild. And probably, I'm just going to say this, probably just about everybody in this room would say, man, I'm glad we don't do that today. But I think that you'll see that it really is the right thing. How many of you understand that even though a lot of laws were given to the Israelites, and when I say law, I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments, and I'm just not talking about the ceremonial laws, but there were social laws that were given to them. You know, like if your oxen went over and gored somebody, there were certain things that you had to do, certain steps you had to do. There were laws that were given to them. And honestly, if a whole world did like the Lord said to do it, we'd be in a whole lot better shape if we all held on to those social laws. But when it comes to the laws of lending, because the love of money is the root of all evil today, and because people in general think too much of money, we all do, it would be very difficult for us to do some of the things that God expected children of Israel to do when it comes to loaning money to people. And so the first thing I want to show you this morning is, number one, who could people loan money to? And quite simply, in both the New Testament and the Old Testament, there are no restrictions as to who you can lend money to. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:42. He says, "Give to them that ask of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Well, how can somebody borrow from you if you don't loan? Amen? So even Jesus did not condemn loaning money to people. Jesus also said this in Luke 6:34-35. He said, "And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So in either testament, it was okay to lend people money. But there were certain restrictions in the Old Testament when it came to lending people money. And you say, well, what were the restrictions? Well, first of all, there was the restriction on who could be charged interest. There was a restriction on who could be charged interest. Now, anybody can loan, but not everybody can be charged interest in the Old Testament. Notice in our opening verse, there in Exodus 22:25, it says, "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not to be him as a usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." Now, when you see that word usury, that's interest. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about interest. And what he's saying here is when you lend money to his people, who was God's people back in the Old Testament? Jews. And so he's saying here, if you lend money to my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not to be him as a usurer. In other words, a Jew was not to charge another Jew interest, okay? He was never to charge interest on the loan that was given to a Jew. In fact, if he broke this law and charged him interest, charge another Jew interest, he would be guilty of committing abomination and could be put to death for doing that. Turn, if you would, over to Exodus chapter 18. In fact, get Exodus 18 in one hand and get Deuteronomy 23 in the other. Exodus 18 and Deuteronomy chapter 23. We'll be looking at Exodus 18 first, but I want you to see here that the Lord wasn't messing around. In fact, this was a law. I mean, and the Lord took the keeping of the law very seriously. I'm sorry, that's Ezekiel chapter 18. I'm sorry. Ezekiel chapter 18 and Deuteronomy 23. So here those pages start turning now. Ezekiel chapter 18 and Deuteronomy 23. Ezekiel 18 and Deuteronomy 23. The penalty, if a Jew charged another Jew interest on a loan, Ezekiel 18, look at verse 12. It says, hath oppressed the poor and needy, hath spoiled by violence, hath not restored the pledge, hath not lifted up his eyes to idols, hath committed abomination. Here he's basically telling the Jews all the things that they had done wrong, name of those things. But look at verse 13. Hath given forth upon usury, and hath taken increase. Shall he then live? How shall he not live? He hath done all these abominations. It was an abomination for a Jew to charge another Jew interest. And he says, how are you going to live? You've done these abominations. Now turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, look at verse 19. It says, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Talking about another Jew. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Again, he's talking about a brother. He is talking about another Jew. And he's saying here again that if a Jew loans money to another Jew, he is not to charge interest. That's 0% financing. Amen. However, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, look at the next verse. It says, unto a stranger, that would be a Gentile, unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess. Now what he's saying right there is it's okay for, now a Jew is not to charge another Jew interest, but it was okay for a Jew to charge a Gentile interest. Okay, and you say, well, that's not fair. Well, maybe not in the world's eyes, but these were God's people, and God was giving his people laws he wanted them to keep. And he said this, he goes, listen, you can charge the Gentiles. Those people are not my children. You can charge them interest, but you're not going to charge each other interest. So anyone could lend to somebody else, but there were restrictions made on who could be charged interest. But there are also restrictions made on how long a person was to pay on a loan. Now, this is going to be the one that you're going to have a problem with right here, folks. It was restrictions on how long a person was to pay on a loan. How many of you understand today that you can get a loan and you can stretch that thing out for a long time? Now, it's not smart to do that because you pay a whole lot of interest when you do that. But today, I mean, we have very long loans. But back in the Old Testament, there were restrictions made on how long a person was to pay on a loan. And the Lord's release was based on the Old Testament law. You say, what's the Lord's release? Well, turn over to Leviticus chapter 25. Now, in Leviticus chapter 25, while you're turning there, Leviticus 25 is basically talking about the Sabbath year. Now, I don't know if you've heard about the Sabbath year or not, but every seventh year, I mean, you had the seventh day, the Sabbath day once a week. That was the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday. First day of the week is Sunday, okay? And, of course, there are a lot of people today that thinks we should keep the Sabbath. That is not true, okay? The Sabbath was never given to any Gentile on the face of the planet. It was only given to the Jews, and it was given to the Jews as a memorial that the Lord had delivered them from the nation of Egypt when they were in bondage to Egypt. You find that in Deuteronomy. Okay, so a person today, Seventh-day Adventists and people like that that say you need to keep the Sabbath, that is absolutely not true, all right? But you had the Sabbath that was on the seventh day of the week, and then you had the Sabbath year, which was every 7 years, and then you had the year of Jubilee, which was seven straight Sabbath years, and then you had the Jubilee, okay? And so that's how they did it. Now, once this seventh year came up, There were things that they could not do on this seventh year. In Leviticus chapter 25, look if you would at verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. The land's going to keep the Sabbath. What does he mean? Look at verse 3. 6 years thou shalt sow the field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. that which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine addressed, for it is a year of rest unto the Lord. Now, if you remember, they were in captivity for 70 years. And the reason they were in captivity 70 years is because they did not keep this. And the Lord says, the land's going to pay back, going to get the Sabbaths. So they were there for 10 Sabbaths. They were in captivity because they didn't do that. Every seventh year, they were not to plant. They were not to sow. They were not to go into vineyards or anything. The land was supposed to rest. Look at verse 6. It says, "And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. And for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in the land shall all the increase thereof be meat." Drop down to verse 20. "And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years." And what he's saying is this. He said, the Lord's saying, just trust me. You keep the law. You on this seventh year, the Sabbath year, don't you plant any of that, and don't worry about being taken care of, because he says, I'm going to give you a tremendous increase on that year six, to where it's going to be enough that you'll be able to live on it for 3 years. So you're not going to have to worry about planting on the seventh year. That sounds like a pretty good deal, amen? Okay, so the land was given rest for 7 years. Bible also tells us that on that seventh year, other things happen as well. And one of those things is that loans given to certain people were to be forgiven on that seventh year. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15. And I'm going to show you this. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Look at verse 1. So if we look at, get the context here. It says in Deuteronomy 15:1, it says, "At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release." Now, this is talking about the Lord's release. And this release was to happen on that seventh or the Sabbath year, the same time the land was given rest. Now, here is that release it's talking about. Look at verse 2. It says, "And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release." So what he's saying here is, at the beginning of the Sabbath year, a loan to a Jew, let's say a Jew loaned another Jew money, he couldn't charge interest on it, but then once it hit that Sabbath year, it was to be forgiven immediately, okay? And it didn't matter how much was left to pay on the loan. It was to be forgiven. However, look at the next verse. Look at verse 3. It says, "Of a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again. But that which is to thine brother, thine hand shall release." So here's how it worked. If a Jew loaned money to a Gentile, then on that seventh year, the Gentile still owed on that loan, had to pay it off. But during that seventh year, that Gentile would not have to pay on that loan. In other words, his loan was suspended on that seventh year. In other words, he could pay for it for six. He would not have to pay for it on the seventh, and then he'd have to keep on paying for it after that Sabbath year was over with. He had to pay it off. But for the Jew, once that Sabbath year hit, his was forgiven completely. Forgiven completely. Now, when we look at that, that you say, well, that again, that doesn't seem fair. Well, again, this is a law given to God's children. Now, I will tell you how most people feel about that. Now, think about this. Think about this scenario. Let's say that that I borrowed money from Brother Wilson. And next year, or I'm asking Brother Wilson to loan me money. By the way, will you loan me some money, brother? I'm just kidding anyway. But let's just say that the Sabbath year is next year, and he knows that. Now, he's a Jew and I'm a Jew. And I say, you know what, I need to borrow $5,000 to buy my brand new boat, well, used boat. I need to borrow about $5,000 for that. And all of a sudden Kelly Wilson says, Sabbath year is next year. So if you pay me, I mean, you'll probably pay me the interest, and then all of a sudden I've got to forgive the loan? I'm not going to do that. That's the way you're thinking, aren't you? Yes, aren't you? Yes, you are. Everybody in here thinks that way. You know why? Because we think too much about money. We do. We would say, listen, if the Sabbath year is next year, there's no way I'm going to loan a guy money right now. I'll wait till after the Sabbath year, and then I'll loan him money. That way he's got 7 years to pay me. That's the way all of us think about it. Well, God knew that. God knew that's the way people would think. I'll tell you this, if you think that way, then and if a Jew thought that way, he sure wasn't trusting God very much. Now, Americans today have a time with this, with these verses, because Americans today, think too much about money. But it is God who provides for the Christian, and it was God who provided for his people, and those that obeyed the Lord, obeyed the law, understood completely. Now, here in Deuteronomy chapter 15, look if you would at verse 4. It says, save when there be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these things which I command thee of this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt not reign over, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. What he's saying is this. He says, if you will just keep my laws, I will bless you. If you'll just keep my laws, that means that even if somebody came up and said, hey, I want to borrow $5,000, and I know that next year is the year of Sabbath, and you're like, man, if I do that, then I'm not gonna get the money I gave him, I'm not gonna get even back because next year is the Sabbath. The Lord's saying, don't worry about that. I will bless you. How many of you understand that the Lord keeps sometimes he keeps things from happening, like your dishwasher going out, or your dryer not breaking, or your engine not blowing up in your motor? Do you realize that that's a blessing every day, amen, that you wake up and things are just okay, amen? But the Lord can make things hard on you. I mean, he can withhold his blessing from you, and then all of a sudden everything breaks, and it really doesn't matter how much money you make because you had to fix everything, amen? And so the Lord has many different ways of blessing you, and he's saying this. He's saying, if you will do what I tell you to do, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I'm going to bless you. Just keep my laws. That's what he's telling them, okay? But there are still some people that would say, well, I just don't want to give them the money because, I mean, after all, if next year's the Sabbath and I give them a loan right now, I'm not going to get anything back. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 15, look at verse 7. The Lord has something to say to those people that think like that. Deuteronomy 15, 7, it says, if there be any among you be a poor of one of thy brethren with any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. In other words, if somebody needs a loan, loan it to them. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanteth. Now watch. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee. You know what he just said? He said, all of you people that just thought, well, you know what, next year is the year of Sabbath, so I'll just wait until after to give him the money so I get it all, and I'm not going to give it to him now. He said to the children of Israel, that's a sin to you to do that. He's saying it doesn't matter when he asks for it, you should give it to him. And I'll take care of it. I'll take care of the blessings. You just do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of it. Now, I'm just going to tell you, again, I think that that would be extremely hard for somebody to do in here today, is to loan anybody money knowing that next year the whole loan is just forgiven. I think it'd be very hard. It was hard for them too, and that's the reason the Lord told them that, okay? And so he was saying to lend the money to the brother anyway, regardless of the fact whether the Sabbath year was coming or not. And not to lend him that money would be a sin. But now here's the other kicker on it. And this is really a hard part we would have if we were living back then. Not only were you to lend them the money knowing that the Sabbath year was coming up, but you were to be happy about it. That's right. You're to be happy about it. Look at verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. You're supposed to be happy about it. Now, why was a person to lend to another brother and not be grieved? Look at the rest of the verse. Because That is, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and all that thou puttest thine hand unto. Now that's he's saying, I'm going to bless you if you'll just do what I tell you to do. This is why the Lord said in Acts 20:25, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because if you give, the Lord will give to you. If you give, the Lord will bless you. It's better to give than receive. How many of you like the Lord's blessings? Then give. Don't think so much about money that you would see somebody else in need not be able to do something. Give to them if you're able to give, okay? Now, there are some, even though we're not in the Old Testament here, and we know the Old Testament does not apply to us when it comes to these certain laws, there are some principles that we as Christians can learn from when it comes to these verses. Now, again, we're not given any rules in the Bible that have to do with loaning money during this age. If you want to loan money to somebody, go ahead, okay? There are no restrictions on how long the loan can be, and there are no restrictions on how much interest that you can charge or who can charge interest to anybody. But as Christians, remember this, that we're supposed to be honest in all of our doings. Supposed to be honest in all of our doings, okay? In fact, I heard just this morning, to show you how dishonest people are, you know, those people down in Texas, a lot of them are without power. But there are other states that have power that they can sell Texas and are charging $50,000 per watt. So can you imagine that? Now you're talking about price gouging when it comes to gas. How about price gouging when it comes to electricity? That's how people are. It's a love of money, okay? But as Christians, we're supposed to be honest in our dealings. Regardless of what dealings you do with somebody, be honest, okay? Now, someone always asks, they'll say, well, wait a second, Pastor, I thought that we were not supposed to loan anybody money because after all, Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything. So therefore, we shouldn't be giving each other loans. We shouldn't be getting loans at the bank. We're not to owe no man. We're to owe no man anything. Well, remember this, folks. Before you create a doctrine for yourself, you need to go back and find the context and find out what that thing's actually saying. All right. You say, well, what's it saying? Well, let's go to Romans 13:8 and let's see. Let's go to Romans 13. Turn over to Romans 13. Now, Romans 13:8 does say, owe no man anything. That's true. Okay, but what is it talking about? What is it talking about when it says, owe no man anything? Got to get the context. In Romans 13, look at verse 6. It says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Now, Romans 13 here is basically telling you that the Lord is telling us how we are to react socially and how things are supposed to be run. It talks about government, talks about where we're supposed to obey the laws. Unless those laws are trumped by God's laws, then we're obligated to always do what God tells us to do. But if it's not, if they're lawful laws, then we are to obey those laws. And if you'll notice there in verse 16, when you see the word tribute, that's talking about taxes. You mean taxes are scriptural? Yes, they are. And right there, you see it right there in Romans 13:6. Now, I'm not going to get into the taxation without representation and all this stuff. I'm just saying that taxes generally are in the scriptures, okay? And it says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Watch verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, in other words, pay taxes to whoever it's due to, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Here's the context here. The context is rendering therefore all their dues. How many of you see that? It's rendering therefore all their dues, giving something that's due to somebody. That's the context. It's talking about not owing anything that is due to another one. It's talking about making your payments on time. Let's say that that you are paying the loan on your house on the first of the month. And by the way, I'll tell you this. When I was young, one of the things I always heard when I was young was they'd say, Bob, you save your money, one of these days you can buy a house. And I'm just going to tell you, that would be very difficult just to save enough money and pay for a house cash. I'm not going to say it can't be done, but it would be very, very difficult to do that, okay? But so most people, they get a loan for the house. And let's say that you're paying on the loan for your house on the first of the month, and you get that bill, and on, it says on that bill, amount due. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It says amount due, okay? And so you pay that payment that is due. Now, if you don't make that payment on time, then the payment is overdue. And if you continue to neglect that payment on your house, then eventually you'll be turned over to a collection agency so they can get the money that is due them, okay? But let's just say you make that payment on time, and after you make that payment and you pay and you rendered those people, rendering therefore all their dues, and you made that payment on time, let me ask you something. Do you owe them anything at that point? No, you don't. Why? Because the payment was due and you paid that payment that was due, and you don't owe them till the next payment is due. Render therefore all their dues. That's the context. Now listen, folks, it has to be that context, and I'll tell you the reason why. Because the Lord already said to loan and lend. Now, if they're there saying that we're not supposed to owe anybody anything, period, and it's not talking about paying what's due, and it's talking about not getting a loan, then you have a contradiction. And how many of you know there are no contradictions in your Bible? None. The Lord says, okay, to lend. It's not a sin to lend. But here it says, owe no man anything. So if you are going to have a loan, you must pay your bills on time, according to that. Render therefore all their dues. Pay them when they're due. That's what it's talking about. Now, so we got to make sure as Christians that we're honest in all of our dealings and that we pay our bills on time. But there are, even though there are no real restrictions on lending money to anybody or getting a loan other than keeping everything honest, as Christians today, we are given instructions when it comes to giving to people, though. Not necessarily loaning, but giving to people. And one instruction we're given is that we should always give to those in need when we are able to. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." That's reading we work for a living. Because the Lord blesses everything you have. The Lord blessed you with that. Now, we like to say, well, I worked hard for everything that I have. Now, wait a second. Without the Lord, you wouldn't even be able to work. Okay? It's all about the Lord. The Lord blesses us. Therefore, we should be willing to give to others. 1 Timothy 6:17-18 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." That's what we're to do. Now, I'm not talking about having somebody take advantage of you. I'm not advocating that we should enable people so that they no longer seek employment. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about helping out someone who has a legitimate need. We are to help out people if we can. Another instruction that we're given in the Bible is that when we give to the poor, we're not to be grieved when we give. In other words, just like those Jews, whenever they lent money to people or gave money to people, they weren't to be grieved in the heart about it. They were supposed to do it and be happy about it. We are too. That's what we're supposed to do. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." In 1 Peter 4:8-10, it says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Listen, folks, our biggest problem is when we have to give to somebody or help somebody out, we do it grudgingly. You should be smiling about it. You should be happy about it. The opportunity to do it. Why? Because it's the Lord who sees these things. Now, here's what one thing I want to point out is this, is there are some people, now again, if you know somebody's a shyster and he's just out there just trying to get money for free without actually being a hard case, use your brains, okay? There are people out there that hold up signs. Not all those people that hold up signs are really as poor as you think they are. How many have ever read about some of those people holding up signs that make more in a year than most of the people in this room? Okay, that would be called a shyster. Now, listen, when you see something like that, the Lord gave you a brain, use it. But what about the person that you don't know and you say, well, I want to help this person out, but I just don't know. What's he going to do with that? I don't know what he's going to do with that money. Well, you know, at some point, you've got to trust God to just do the right thing. I mean, you just got to trust God. God knows what, if that person is shyster or not. And listen, if you, the Lord looks at your heart. And sometimes all of us are too worried about the other person, If the Lord sees in your heart that you just want to help somebody out, it doesn't matter what that guy does with it. He saw what you did with it. And he's going to bless you for that. Amen? Now, at the same time, he expects you to use your brain too. But the Lord looks at the heart. All right? And so when we give to the poor, we're not to be grieved about it. We should be doing it joyfully because we know the Lord will bless it. And so rather than being grieved when we give, we are to be cheerful givers. And the reason why we're to be cheerful givers is the same reason that those Jews were told not to be grieved when they lent money, and that is God will always bless you when you give. When you help out somebody else, God will always bless you for that, just like he did for the nation of Israel. It's God who supplies you, folks, with everything that you have. And if you give, God will always take care of you. He'll always take care of you. And that is the principle that is taught when it comes to giving and lending money to other people. Again, back in the Old Testament, the Jew was not to charge interest on another Jew. A Jew was to forgive that loan after 7 years. But with a Gentile, those laws weren't the same. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there to you, and I'll close. Even though we're not under the law, it's my opinion. And again, if you want to throw tomatoes, just remember it's my opinion, okay? But I will tell you this. I do think that when it comes to, you know, the Bible does tell us that when we help people, the people that we help begins with the people that are Christians, and then it works its way out. And I've always thought that when it comes to giving loans to each other and helping out each other, I think that Christians should look at Christians in a different light. God certainly does. Amen? I always thought that. And so, I'll give you another piece of advice too that I was told a long time ago. I don't know. I was told a long time ago that be careful when you do business with people that are from false religions. There it is. Okay, so I figured I had to throw that in there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for all your blessings. And Father, help us, Lord, to give and be cheerful when we do it, Lord. And help us not to think too much about money. Lord, help us to understand, Lord, it doesn't matter how much money we have in our pockets. It's not as worth as much as it was 10 years ago anyway. But Lord, we know that you could bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. If we'll just do things the way you would have us to do them, Lord, and be honest in our dealings. Help us, Lord, to do this. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.